exactly what will this new kind of software introduce? What controls are we giving to parents?
Oh, there's heaps of different controls, but the main one that Apple focused on is a technology called Screen Time. And all that Screen Time does is it just keeps track of how much you've used your device and the different apps you've used in your device, and gives you a weekly report on how much you've used Instagram, how much you've used Facebook, how much you've used various other apps. And for parents, it provides that report from the child's device to the parent's device, and then gives them the opportunity to set some limits and say, after you've used Fortnite for 10 hours a week, that's all that you get, and it will be blocked from being used from then on. Or after 10 p.m. at night, you're just not allowed to use any app on your device until 6 a.m. the next morning.
Wow. This seems like really fantastic technology for parents, because there is really no way to monitor kids up until now. I find it would be a really, really hard thing to do, because when they're squirreled away in their rooms playing on their phones, God knows what they're doing. I think it's really interesting. Mind you, I would hate to see what my breakdown per week of how many hours I spend on Instagram is. That is a terrifying, terrifying thing to think about. How effective do you think these controls will be for parents? Do you think it will encourage kids to spend less time on technology? I guess it's going to force them to.
That's it. And you do make a clear distinction there between what grown-ups get versus what kids get, right? What grown-ups get is we just get a report that lets us know how much we're using the device, whereas with kids, the parents have the opportunity to do some blocking and some changes and some restrictions on the kids. The kids do have the capacity to ask for more time. So if you run out of time on Fortnite and you just want 15 minutes more, you can press ask for more time. You can go and ask mum and dad. It'll actually send them a message to their phone and they can approve it remotely. Or you can walk in and hand them the device and they can type in a password to give you 15 more minutes. And so I think it will be really effective in keeping track of what the kids are doing. And as you said, I mean, I think thus far we really haven't had this technology. I mean, I know my son, sometimes if you wake up in the middle of the night, you look down the hallway and his light's on because he's sneakily watching YouTube or doing something. And it would be great to know that he's doing that and to monitor that usage.
And it kind of, I guess, puts the ball back in the kids' court sometimes. It's like, well, you have 10 hours of allotted time on Facebook this week. How you spend it is your own decision. I think it's almost responsibility building.
Yes, I totally agree. And look, with the adults, it's certainly intended in that direction. And I think there's a lot of parallels between the technology of Screen Time and some of the health things that they already have. So you know, this idea that your watch pops up and says to you, hey, I notice you've been a bit, you know, slow today, but you've almost completed your move ring. And if you just go for a 5-minute walk, then you'll finish your move ring, right? So that's the health gives you these kind of warnings. And the Screen Time, I think, is trying to do the same thing. Just, as you said, letting you know, hey, did you know that you spent 15 hours this week on Instagram?
I wish it was just 15 hours. Oh my gosh. If it was 15 hours, I would think I'm doing well. Now, reports detailing a child's kind of device usage are provided with the intent of it being used for parents. But this information is kind of being gathered. It's a bit of a gold mine for data and analytics. Do you think that there is the potential for this to kind of play out almost in a more unsavourable way? Do you think that this could turn into the new Cambridge Analytica scandal? Are Apple putting in any kind of roadblocks to prevent that happening?
Look, I mean, I think it does. Ultimately, with a lot of these devices, it comes down to how much you trust the company. And I think that's what we as a society are starting to realise more and more. Like if you're in welcoming Google into your home and you have a smart speaker, a Google Home device, do you trust Google to listen to every word you say? And if you don't trust Google to listen to every word you say, you probably shouldn't have a Google Home sitting on your kitchen bench. By the way, I have a Google Home sitting on my kitchen bench that I'm looking at right now. So that's where I fall in that particular argument. But I think we need to think about the company and how much we trust them. And you mentioned Facebook and Cambridge Analytica, and we all kind of have this opinion of Facebook where we go, oh, that's not that surprising. I think with Apple so far, they've demonstrated that they're fairly strict about privacy and about protecting people's information. Mm-hmm. You might remember that they got into a little bit of a battle with the FBI a few years ago, where the FBI wanted to unlock the phone of one of the shooters at one of the shootings in the US. Mm-hmm. And they said to Apple, can you unlock this, please? And Apple said, no, we can't. And I said, why not? It's a shooter. Yeah. And they said, because we don't want to set a precedent for unlocking these devices. It's his data, and so we're not going to give you access to that data. Mm. So I think if we trust them, I think it's okay. But I think you've raised a very good point that I think at this stage, 2018, this is the kind of thing we need to think about as individuals.
Mm, absolutely. I guess this is a problem that will kind of wean itself out over time. But when you look at kids and the fact that they're digital natives or they're iKids, and the people parenting them are pretty much digital immigrants and are people who have not grown up with this technology, you see quite a disparity in their ability to, I guess, enforce rules that they don't necessarily understand. Do you think that this will be enough to kind of, I guess, give parents the tools to take a little bit of control back of this technology?
It certainly gives parents a little bit of control, but I think you raise a very good point, which is that we, and I include myself in that as well, I'm a digital immigrant as per the definition, right? We don't really understand how much kids use these devices and how they use these devices. And I often give my father-in-law as an example of this. He's definitely a digital immigrant. He's much older than me. But when he got a computer, he was able to connect with communities that he never connected with before. He's a massive Carlton supporter, but he lives in Queensland. So there are not a lot of Carlton supporters in Queensland. But once he got onto Facebook, he could socialise with all of the other Carlton supporters that were down in Melbourne, and had a much richer community that he interacted with than he had before. And kids are exactly the same. When you take your kid's device off of them, you're depriving them of that communication, which is so prevalent in their life. It's such a big part of what they do. So I think as parents, I think there is still going to be a learning curve to really understand those things. And as you said, I wonder whether we ever really will, or whether we'll just sort of muddle through it.
Well, I think most parents are doing a pretty good job at muddling. Michael, it's a really, really fascinating conversation. Unfortunately, we'll have to leave it there, but thanks for joining us this afternoon.
Not a problem, Jess. Great to talk to you.